Good morning, everyone. I hope that you are all doing well. This week we are beginning our summer services, where we are going to continue with our theme of the Bible, and we will be taking a focus on some of the lesser known Bible characters. So as part of that, today we'll be taking a look at the story of Ananias from Acts chapter 9, as he is shown helping Saul. Just to note that this isn't the Ananias mentioned a few chapters earlier, who withheld his prophets from the early church. There's a big difference. Now, Ananias may only have a brief mention, but that does not mean that we should skip over his significance. At the end of his book, John testifies to the fact that his gospel records only a very few of the many things that Jesus did, going as far to say that if all had been recorded, there would not be room in all the books in the world to hold them. And I believe that what goes for the life of Jesus in the Gospels is similar to that of the early church recorded in the book of Acts. People and stories that those following in the footsteps of faith would learn and benefit from the most. So, we should be ready to gain great value as we take a closer look into the short story of Ananias as we find it before us in our Bible. One of my favourite Bible verses is from Luke 6, verses 47 to 48. As we learn about the wise and the foolish builders, we are told that it is those who hear God's word and put them into practice, are those who dig deep and build their house or lay their life upon the solid foundation. Now, this may seem straightforward, and it's meant to be, but the tricky part comes when what we hear God saying goes against all kinds of earthly reasoning, and this is where we can learn from Ananias. As a disciple, him approaching Saul should have certainly meant imprisonment or even death. Yet this is a story of Ananias' obedience as he says yes to God, even when it's hard. So what did Ananias do that we can learn from? I believe there were three aspects which can account to Ananias being obedient to God. So I'll spend a couple minutes now on each of them, sharing what I think God is saying to help us be people who are building on the solid foundation. The first thing that stood out was the initial response of Ananias to the Lord. As God calls out to him by name, he has a simple reply, "Yes, Lord." In the book of Acts, there are 14 recorded direct messages from either God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, whether audibly, in visions, in dreams, through prophetic utterances, or by angelic messages. And out of these 14, 12 of them include a direct call to action from one of the Trinity to go and do something, a chance to say, "Yes, Lord." When God speaks to us, we must be ready to be changed internally. And that internal change often has an outward expression of us doing something. So when we hear the voice of God, is our first response simply, "Yes, Lord"? Often, you don't know how you respond until God actually speaks. And I'm sure for a lot of us, definitely for me, this will vary depending on where I am, what I'm doing, and who I'm with. It might be easy to invite God into our lives when we are at church or among fellow believers, but how does that change if God speaks to us when we are at work, in a rush, getting everything sorted for a holiday, or just trying to wind down in the evening? Are we ready to be interrupted at all times by God, or are there some moments or even days when it would be inconvenient for him to show up? We are told nothing about what Ananias was doing before his vision, but the Bible suggests that whatever he was doing was quickly dropped when God had a job for him. We too must be ready for God to mess up our schedule. Then we can be confident that our response will be, "Yes, Lord." The next part of this story which stood out to me is the second response of Ananias. It can be easy to say yes when you don't actually know what you're signing up for. But now that he realises what is at stake, we will do well to observe his reaction. It isn't an instant, "Absolutely, God," that we hear from Ananias. And I believe that would have been unrealistically and possibly even unhelpful for us to look at. It is clear by Ananias' response that he is doubtful. Is God sure? Why would he go to Saul? Did he mishear God? Are all possible thoughts rushing through his head? Something I've realised reading this is that often when I doubt, I tune out from God. It becomes so much easier to focus on the thoughts inside of my head rather than what God is saying. So what I believe is remarkable here is that Ananias simply responds. Rather than process all his thoughts on his own, he lays them out, doubts and all, before God, and continues to speak with him. Now you might think that, of course, Ananias responds, as he was in a vision, what else could he actually do? Now, I haven't actually done any kind of deeper study on the technicalities of visions, so maybe I'm just mistaken. But I believe that when God speaks to us, in any form, it is not forced upon us, but we are given the chance to, as described in the story of the wise and foolish builders, come to him to hear his words. He may get our attention in a supernatural way, but we are never forced to listen as we still have free will. I recently had a vision where God called me to do something, but unlike Ananias, I doubted, but I didn't lay my doubts before God. I was in a boat with a few friends, still very present to my surrounding, but at the same time I was shown one of the people I was with forgetting something on that boat. I wasn't sure what it was, but I felt like I was just simply told to check with my friends if they had everything with them. Yet I messed up, I doubted, and rather than pressing into God, I brought myself back to my own thoughts, probably just out of the embarrassment to get it wrong. After that, I totally forgot about it for a bit, and it wasn't until later that day when my friend realised that they had lost their phone somewhere. We were able to track it and get it back, but I'm sure that you've already guessed by now that it was on the boat where they had lost it. Thankfully, God's mercy shone through this story that no one took the phone and we were able to retrieve it, and I feel that I got off with a slight warning, but that maybe next time I would have to be more obedient. But what I'm trying to say here is that if we are to grow in obedience, then we have to be ready to engage with God through our doubts. Now, the third thing that I noticed is the simplest and most important. So none of the previous story would have actually mattered if Ananias hadn't simply gone and done what God had told him to do. Likewise, the most important thing for us is to put into practice what God is saying to us. And the way that we do this is by genuinely believing that when we do so, we are standing on the rock foundation. Ananias wouldn't have gone up to Saul if he didn't truly believe that Jesus had the power to save even the most wicked of men. And likewise, we won't put into practice what God calls us to do if we don't truly believe that God will use it to see his kingdom break through in our ordinary life. Thankfully, this is something that God also wants us to grow in. And as stated in 1 Corinthians, God won't test us beyond our own strength to remain firm, given to it by him. God won't ask us beyond our ability to say yes to him. And as we start to say yes to him in the smaller things, we will grow in authority and be able to say yes to him in the bigger matters. Now, we learn that Ananias carried out what God had told him to do fairly quickly, yet this may not always be the case. So another step to enable us to carry out God's will is we have to remember what he said. Last week, Rachel talked on the importance of memorization of scripture, and she mentioned the sheer number of times the Bible calls us to remember. Ironically, I can't actually remember the number of times that she said, but you should definitely listen to her talk if you haven't already done so, as one of the main ways that God speaks to us is through scripture, and we can only actually act on that if we remember what it says. So, this week, how are we going to say yes to God in every situation? Whether it's just a prompt to pray for a friend, realizing that you need prayer yourself and asking for it, or maybe you know that God has already been telling you something for a while and now is your time to act on it. As when we begin to say yes to God in the little things, we will start to see his kingdom come even there, and he will be preparing us to say yes to him in the bigger asks. So God, I pray that as we choose to grow in obedience to you this week, we would know that you are alongside us. Whatever we need to grow in, whether it's our first reaction to your voice, that we need to be living lives each day ready for you to speak and interrupt us, or if we are struggling with doubt and we need to be laying it out before you rather than drawing it away, or whether we need to actually just trust in you more, getting out and obeying your commands, knowing that following them is the best way to live. Amen.